the Triathlon Show 348. Hey, what's up everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. I'm your host Michael, and on today's episode I interview Dr. Fabian Urban. Fabian is a systemic performance coach with a background in behavioral economics. He works with people in leadership and business roles, as well as with athletes, to help people maximize their performance in sports or in business. And one example of that, which we'll talk about in the interview, is Fabian having worked with pro triathlete Florian Angert in the lead up to his really, really great accomplishment at the Ironman World Championships in St. George, where he finished fifth. And so we will discuss that and get some specific advice in the interview. This episode is sponsored by Precision Fuel and Hydration, that creates sports nutrition products, including both fueling and hydration. And they also help you use it effectively through a range of free tools, services, and content. They have recently launched a fantastic fuel and hydration planner on their website that is a one-stop shop for figuring out an effective race hydration and fueling strategy for you. It's free and super easy to use. It only takes a couple of minutes to answer a handful of questions, and then you get a detailed, simple, and effective race plan. They also offer free video consultations, and as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off your order of their range of electrolyte and carbohydrate products by using the code TTS22 at checkout on precisionfuelandhydration.com. And thank you to Senate. The Senate Indoor Swim Trainer is a swim training tool that you can use at home, allowing you to improve your technique, work on power and stamina, and save time and stay consistent even when you're not able to go to the pool. It is a fantastic way to work on swim-specific core activation, as the instability element of the bench forces you to stabilize your core, and it helps you work on a high elbow catch, as the height of the swim bench is perfectly designed for forcing you to keep that elbow up. You can get tips and specific workouts on how to use the trainer on Senate social media channels like YouTube and Instagram. The Senate Swim Trainer is very affordable, and even more so with a 20% discount code that you can get on senatetrainer.com/TTS. And best of all, the investment is risk-free. If you don't love it after 2 weeks, send it back and you can get a full refund. Before we get into today's interview with Dr. Fabian Urban, I also just quickly want to mention about the January training camp we will be running in Portugal for 15 advanced athletes. I talked about this in last week's episode as well, so you can skip ahead if it doesn't interest you for a minute or a minute and a half or so. But basically, this will be a small group training camp for a group of advanced athletes, and we will have another training camp in Mallorca later in 2023 at the end of March, which will be open for athletes of all different levels. You can check out all the information about the Portugal training camp on scientifictriathlon.com, and if you're interested, please email me and you can register, or you can email me and ask for more information. If you have any questions, I'm happy to discuss if it's the right camp for you. Please note that we only have a handful of slots left at the moment of recording this, so don't lose any time if you want to sign up for it. And just finally, if you have never heard of the Algarve in the south of Portugal as a cycling destination, it's not surprising because it's not one of those places that is talked about a lot, like Mallorca, but it is truly a hidden gem. It is absolutely amazing for cycling. I spent a lot of time there, and I absolutely love it, and it will be a treat for you if you decide to come to the camp. So yeah, that's the camp. Hope to see many of you there. And now, without any further ado, let's get into the interview with Fabian Urban. Welcome to the Triathlon Show, Fabian. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks, Nico. I'm doing well, thank you.
Can you start by just giving us an introduction? Tell us who you are and what you're doing and how your work is related to triathlon.
Yeah, of course. My name is Fabian. I'm 45 years old and I live in Frankfurt in Germany. And I'm the co-founder and the managing director of the House of Leadership and the initiator of the Project Barriers, I think, which I will talk about a bit more in detail later. And my job is I design and facilitate learning journeys for individuals with a focus on leadership, self-leadership, and personal development. And I work as a performance coach for managers and pro athletes who are pursuing a specific goal. A bit to my background, after school and my time in the army, I studied economics. And I didn't feel comfortable there as it was very math heavy, which wasn't really my thing. And but what I really liked was the behavioral aspects of economics. So why do people behave the way they do in a certain market or a certain system, for example? Or what is their underlying motivation and what keeps them from initiating a new pattern of behavior, or why do they stick with the destructive one? And that's why I decided to write a dissertation after my master's degree. And I focused on the topic of emotional experience in the context of the performance area, because I was firmly convinced that this has got a massive influence on the behavior of individuals. And in my doctoral thesis on emotions and leadership, I found out what emotions or what role emotions play, especially in the context of leadership, and what significance they have also in context of personal development and self-management. And after that, I worked a few years at Deutsche Bank in the Talent and Development Department and was also responsible for the Executive Education Department at the Business School in Frankfurt at the university, again, focusing on development programs. And during that time, I completed a couple of courses in systemic consulting and Zen meditation and mental coaching and body work. And I started integrating them step by step to enrich my work a bit and realized that I could enormously increase the number of, let's say, access channels to my clients in a world. Maybe a few facts about my sporting career. Yep. So I started with triathlon. I started with triathlon in the 90s when triathlon was, I think, still completely unknown in Germany. So nobody knew. So triathlon, okay, what is it? And to date, I have completed 9 Ironman races and about 20 half Ironman races. And I think, more short distance races and duathlons that I can count. And since I have a very strong connection to the field of professional sports and in particular to the world of Ironman and long distance triathlon, a significant part of my work takes place, especially in this area.
Yeah. And you have been working, we will get to that in a little bit, but just to give some more context for listeners, one athlete you've been working a lot with is Florian Angert, that you've been working with for a long time, really leading up to the World Championships where he placed 5th. So so that's kind of what the reason that I found you in the first place is through learning about your work with Florian.
Yeah, Florian was he took part in the Pathfinder program. That was a program we set up together within the pandemic with Felix Weichshöfer, who is the organizer of the Challenge Roth, the long distance triathlon in Germany. And it was designed for German elite triathletes during the pandemic. And we wanted to give them the chance, okay, you are a triathlete and you make the living out of professional sports. And is there anything we can do for you? So giving you the chance to maybe, as we said, finding your path as a professional athlete. And after that program, Florian contacted me and we set up a project I think I will talk a bit more in detail about later. And it was called Breaking Barriers, and it was a project in preparation for the World Championships in St. George this year.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit for sure. But let's start a bit more generally. So you mentioned there systemic coaching or systemic performance coaching. Can you describe that and tell us more about what that means?
Yeah, of course. Very short, a systemic coach, or if you work as a systemic coach, you include the whole system within and around a person, what is for some people quite new, and how do I work or what do we do? So our clients, whether they come from the business or the professional sports area, are in most cases very performance and result orientated. And while most of them are aware of their potential and what is possible for them, they somehow feel that they cannot really fulfill it. So they feel something like a, we call it barrier or a knot, and they cannot untie. And to put it simple in words, some have the fuzzy feeling of not being in their position. So, which means, I mean, people who are experienced in martial arts or in yoga know exactly, if you are centered, or as we say, in your position, and act out of this position, you are very well balanced and have good or perfect access to all your resources and all your bodily, cognitive and emotional skills, so which you require for reaching out your goal. And the opposite is very often the case when you are not centered, not in your position. So let's take, for example, the feeling when you do not sit well on your TT bike as a comparison. So you want to put power on the pedal and you could do it, but simply because you have the wrong posture, you aren't able to do it. And then you are, as we say, blocked in a certain way. So you are not in your position. And working with athletes in this regard means that they, if they are not in their position, cannot transfer their training success to the race. So they are then quite often good in training. So in Germany, we call them training world champions. And they have excellent performance data, but very often or from time to time, something holds them back when they race and they have to perform. And then my approach is, and this maybe seems a bit unusual, I try to figure out what the benefit of the barrier or the knot I described, or what I call the major incidents, might be. So especially if it's happening more frequently, and of course a physical or training scientific cause can be ruled out. So many athletes often try to untie the knot by pulling, but believe me, I don't think you can untie a knot by pulling the end. So the opposite normally happens. It gets tighter. And that's why people come, or athletes come to me. From my experience, I can say that the harder athletes often desperately try, the more their attempt is likely to fail. And then we take a view on the problem or their goal they are pursuing.
What is an example of one or two barriers or knots, and also how pulling on them just makes it worse, and then doing it the other way around?
Okay, maybe I describe it in that way. So it sounds a bit counterintuitive indeed. So the first thing I do when working with athletes, and this confuses many of them at first, is to look at the individual journey of the athlete. So from my point of view, and we are all on a kind of a journey. And this journey, and that might sound a bit spiritual to the listeners now, this journey started the day we were born. And that day, to put it into a useful analogy, we all began producing a film of our own, a movie. And this movie has the title, My Solution to Everything. So what does it mean? So we all have been thrown or pushed into our individual lives, some softer, some a little harder, and grown up over the years. And from childhood on, we had to learn things. So we were constantly confronted with challenges and problems. We had to make decisions and create solutions. And at school, we were judged and evaluated all the time. We were given grades, and we were told how to behave in order to be rewarded or to avoid punishment. And on this journey, each of us produced his own or her own and individual film, so to speak. And a look at these films shows us, each of us, which, let me say, action strategies we have developed and which coping mechanisms we obviously tried out. And the problem or the thing is, this making of the film influenced us in a certain way, as it led to attitudes, to ways of thinking, to beliefs. And while some of the ways of thinking were quite useful at a point of time, many may have lost their purpose. So others, however, have been totally forgotten. For example, look at things in your youth that you did very well and I guarantee you, you will be impressed by yourself. So maybe you were pretty brave or simply believed in yourself, not thinking about failure, just the experience. And this is the way we or I use in coaching. And in the end, it doesn't matter what kind of film you as an athlete have produced so far. There is not such a thing as good or bad. It is in the end what it is. And the film gives you as an athlete the perfect opportunity to understand your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors, and of course also your knots, in terms of that you do things which have been quite helpful in the past. So pushing, reaching out for performance, but maybe are not so successful as a strategy right now. And the good thing is, the more you become aware of yourself and your film, the easier it is to initiate what I would say a change here and now. And this is always possible and never too late. Yeah.
So that's, is that kind of step one, just getting to know yourself a bit better and being aware of yourself in the present and in the past as well?
So, I mean, know yourself. Okay, I do. So it sounds quite easy, and in the end, it takes quite a long time, and I think it's a never-ending process. The problem is that, of course, we are all very often wish for a quick solution if we have a long-lasting problem. So and then we like to reach out for a certain behavior pattern which we try to put on like a Superman costume. So okay, I have a problem, give me the solution. But my philosophy as a coach is that it is hardly useful and it doesn't last. So what do I instead is more from a systemic way, so meaning including all the elements in your system and all the elements around you and above all that. And I take an appreciative approach in which I consider the elements that my clients often are not really aware of, and therefore they do not pay much attention on it so far.
Okay. So can you give two examples, maybe one from the triathlon world and one from the business world or leadership world, of a knot and how you would solve it in, or how you have solved it in those particular examples, and of course if any relevant information about the environment and the background that we need to know as well. So just to get some examples and understand this a bit better.
Let me maybe go back to the movie analogy. So over time, we have all found what I call purposeful solutions as a business person, but also as a triathlete. So we all face challenges, and each of us found their own or unique solution. So in terms of, for example, we were rejected or we failed or we had to drop out of a race or something happened in our life. And of course, there were positive events, which we also use in the coaching process. But from my experience, especially the very challenging events led us to get creative. And in this way, we find a mental and an emotional solution. And we develop, for example, a specific attitude. So let me give you the example. So for example, don't trust people. So if you were cheated, you for yourself establish the mindset, don't trust people. Or if you want to be appreciated by others, you have to give 100%. For example, if you as a child had the interpretation of being unloved as a reason for your individual underperformance. And these knots or these barriers, they come up over time because things you found useful or which have been useful over time are not useful right now. And in that context, emotions come in, which play a very big role in our lives, and they pave the way to things like attitudes and mindsets in the long run. And that's why we take a serious look at them. So what do you, not only what do you think, but what do you feel and what do you felt over time? And they act as a kind of inner mirror and inform you about what is important and what not.
Okay. And can we then maybe discuss the work that you did with Florian? If you can walk us through that process a bit, that I think would be really interesting to hear about, and would also highlight some specific aspects of your systemic coaching in terms of triathlon and how it can help triathlon performance.
Yeah, okay. Professional athletes often have the problem that they cannot put their full performance on the road on race day. And I mean, we are talking about maybe 3 to 5%. But the effect can be huge, as it mean in the end, place 10 instead of podium. And in this case, the question is, what set the limit? What was the barrier, or what was the not, and why? When Florian contacted me after the program Pathfinder, we immediately teamed up with Philipp Seip, who is his trainer. And I already knew Philipp as we had been working for quite a long time. And then we created the project so-called Breaking Barriers as a team of three, and we wanted to underpin our goal setting. And Philipp, he is a very innovative trainer, and he is really aware of the mental and emotional skills as crucial resources. So he was open to work with people like me, and Florian also knew me, and so we teamed up as three. And in the initial phase, we still had a really vague goal. So the goal was Florian's full potential should be released at race day. And in addition to that, we wanted to give him the ability not to use his physical abilities to 100%, but we also wanted to give him the mental foundation so that he would be able, to perform at his best at any time and in any situation during the race. So not only in a good situation, but also in a bad situation. And of course, Philipp's work took most of the project. So he was responsible for the complete training control and the addition of a whole range of methods and techniques. And my role then consisted of ensuring that the developed capacity could be used to 100% on day X. And it was very important for us as a secondary condition that Florian's way of organizing, of shaping, also leading the race in St. George should be in harmony with his personality and his identity as an athlete. And what does it mean and why it is so important? So when athletes are looking for excellence, they are often tempted to use, I would call them ready-made schemes or predefined templates as a kind of tested accelerator. So in the business sector, you know it, that there are existing best-in-class case studies. So the message is copy it and you will be successful. And from my experience, this approach is rarely promising, and often it even reduces performance because you cannot copy attitudes and strategy, especially if you take into account that an attitude is the result of emotional processes. And so you cannot copy this from other people who have developed it and improved it over years and decades. And so the first thing we did in the project was to define the mission of Florian. And the mission is a kind of an interplay of your past. So according to the movie, so what is my movie I produced so far, and what is my desired future? So, this was the first thing we did.
And what, so can you explain that a bit more, the mission?
Yeah.
Mission aspect.
Yeah. So, I like the analogy, and maybe it is easier for the listener to understand. So an athlete's mission is a kind of an interplay of your past and your future. So according to this picture, so you have the past, the movie which you produced so far, and this is the current version. And this one has to be, I would say, harnessed, which means the I with the coachee together, we try to use and reformulate the patterns and the strategies that are useful but also limiting. And we take them out of the film. So what went well? What were your strengths? What were successful in your past? And then, of course, there are limiting attitudes and limiting beliefs. And then I would say there is the possibility to make a remake of the film or a sequel. And that is the desired future. So the planned remake or the planned sequel. And in a project, we define this sequel, so the next step, in such a way that it is so attractive that an athlete, for example, Florian, that in that way, is really fascinated by this film. So, and as the film directly activates his full skill set. So, in one sentence, I would say we step by step designed an athlete, a future athlete called Florian, and this athlete Florian wanted to be. And yeah, this took us about 100 hours.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so. What was that athlete that Florian wanted to be? Can you tell, if that's not too private, can you tell us a bit more about, or just a couple of key points in terms of the change from the past to the future?
Yeah, the problem is, so if, as I said, first of all, we defined a mission, or his mission. So, and my advice would be, yeah, define your mission. And what is a mission? So if you would ask me, becoming number one, is that a mission? So not for me, and also be fast as possible. This is not a mission. The mission, in my view, is trying to become your best version by doing what you were made to do. Yeah. And this means that you first become aware of who you are and what do you want to stand for. So what are your strengths and what are your desires? And that means that you first become aware, yeah, of all the things inside you. And this is, so to speak, the basic ingredient that you can use for your mission. And then in the next step, you define what you want to do. And that should, of course, match the resources you have on board. So try to be the person you can be. The problem for many is that they define a mission and only later they realize they lack the resources for it. So many top athletes from also other sports are surprisingly often are on a mission that does not really suit to them. So in many cases, these missions are the product of advices or tips from their or individual perspectives from their trainers and coaches. And the athletes often accept all the advice and plans and lose a bit the contact to themselves in the process. And in the end, they are not really aware anymore of who they are and what they could be able to do. So it's not just copying other styles, but it's to start to get in touch with yourself and establishing, what I would say the best version of yourself.
Okay. And when you had that mission, what was the next step? What was there? Yeah. Was there something, something following on after that?
Yeah. So of course, I mean, being on your mission in the first phase. So we asked questions like, who am I and what am I about and where do I really want to go? And how does that fit into my plan? And how does my past fit into my future? And being on your mission then also means that you, of course, improve your mental strength. And these strengths are quite crucial for race success, but they don't come from magic or shortcuts, as many think, though they are also a result of a long development process. And it can be exercised like running and cycling. And during a project, for example, we used a whole range of what I would call mental images. And these images were able to reinforce Florian's mission, not only in the race, but also on the way to the race. And a mental image, which is for me quite powerful, combines three perspectives. So the mental one, of course, plus the emotional and the somatic one. So It is about, okay, what do I think mentally? What do I feel emotionally? And what do I experience in my body from a somatic perspective? And these mental images then can be quite useful and quite powerful in the project, in the race, in the preparation for the race.
So can you give a couple of examples of those mental images?
Yeah. From a mental point of view, the project was about to find out who is going to the start as an athlete in Florian's person. So who is this Florian who is actively involved in shaping the race and who can also deal with critical situations? And within a mental image, we look at how a particular person or a character thinks and feels and behaves. And then we try to embody that. Maybe I take an easy example. For example, let's take a little child who dresses up like Super Mario or like Spider-Man. He or she wants to be like the superhero. By dressing up like that superhero, he or she wants to emulate the way the superhero thinks and feels and behaves. So this is in one sentence what a mental image could be. And the triathlon world has several icons, and many of them have received a mental image. Of course, it was not a mental image, but it was a kind of a nickname which was given from the community. But from my perspective, it worked as a kind of a mental image. And think, for example, of Mark Allen, as he was called the Grip, or Dave Scott, he was called the Man, and both of them took part in the legendary Iron War in 1989. And if you take a closer look, so because what I said, for me, it's a mental image, being the Grip or the Man isn't just a description. It, from my perspective, activates a specific ability and a mindset when you are able to embody it on a deep level. But not every nickname or mental image is really useful. So, for example, there was a German guy in the 90s, Dirk Aschmonait, and at that time races in the men's division were allowed to make topless. So he was called German Rambo because he was really fast forward. And of course, there are also images that are like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a negative way. And I could think of Wolfgang Dittrich, for example, who was called the Rabbit. So he was the eternal first out of water in the 90s, but always ended up getting caught by the Grip or others. And I think his best place was, I don't know, third on Hawaii in the 90s as his best result. And so he was always denied the big hit, and that shows. So working with a mental image can be, of course, very powerful, but challenging at the same time, as you have to be very careful when finding it out.
So if you don't have a nickname given to you by the community, it's more about, for example, thinking about how you want to think, feel, and behave in different situations in the race. For example, in the swim, you have a certain image, and on the bike, in Florian's race plan, maybe he had the plan of, okay, getting up into the lead group, and then he had a mental image for what it would look like when he's out on the bike in a small group working together. Is that kind of what you're
describing? Yeah, I can, if you like, I can give you a couple of examples for a mental image. So we tried in the preparation phase a lot of mental imagery to give Florian, as I said, the ability to be able to adapt to racing situations. And the goal was to embody these images. What means, so how do this person thinks, how do this person feels, and how do this person behaves? And for example, we call one picture the professional. So the professional knows what he's doing, and he knows it because he's capable of. of what he does. And he can always rely on what he's doing, and he's always in touch with himself and his abilities. And the professional, for example, has also the quality to return into his position, and he's always, very well balanced, and he can regulate himself, and he can divide his strength and energy perfectly. And for example, as Florian tends to be a more quiet type, we explicitly took this trait into account, while others are, I would say, a bit more loud and rowdy. So the professional, Florian as a professional, hardly makes a fuss. So he acts more in the secret, and therefore is difficult to be understand by his opponent. So that was what makes him so I would say dangerous. And we also used another picture. We called it the warrior. So it was significantly more complex, and it was developed for critical race situations, and especially, and that was quite important, for silent attacks from competitors. So, for example, a silent attack can be unspectacular. It is speeding up or slowing down, but in the end, it has got maybe a devastating consequence for Florian, as he has to find a new strategy. So he's maybe forced to change his strategy, and that would lead to a mental imbalance, and that's why we took quite a while to set up this picture. And we also took some help from a colleague of mine who's well versed in Aikido, and to find a possibility to give Florian the picture of a warrior in the race.
Yeah, that makes sense. Good examples. So how important do you think that this kind of process and this kind of coaching can be at the elite performance level in terms of, is it a marginal gain, something that can maybe get you from that 10th place to the podium? Well, that's not a marginal gain. I mean, I guess at the top level, any marginal gain is important. But I guess my question is, just how important do you think that this kind of process can be?
Yeah. I mean, this question is not so easy to answer. First, I'm firmly convinced that all top athletes in the narrow elite of the world use this or similar forms of coaching. So I'm totally convinced. And of course, it is always called differently and is designed a little differently. And of course, not every athlete talks about it. But from my point of view, if you not only want to get to the top of the world, but also plan to stay there for a while, then there is no way around this form of coaching. And of course, yet to say, exceptions prove the rule. Yeah. But my work is certainly not something that enables a quantum leap in a short time, even though it has an impact from the first minute. But athletes become, and that's maybe more important, more aware of who they are. They become more sensitive. They become more they get more into their feelings, and at the same time they develop a more complete picture of themselves and their mission. And this gives them a sense of security, I would say, in an equal measure. And it makes them definitely mentally stronger in the end, because they feel good in what they do, and they are, so to speak, in their position.
And what about for amateur athletes? Can this be relevant also if your goal is, for example, simply setting a new PB in a triathlon, or breaking some nice round number, like breaking 12 hours for the Ironman for the first time, or 5 hours for the half Ironman for the first time? Is it still relevant?
Of course. I mean, professionals operate at an extremely high level, but this is their job. And of course, you cannot reach out to the achievements if you have a full-time job. But for me, it doesn't matter. However, an age grouper has got his own goals, and they are as demanding and involving as you have the same hurdles and the same barriers as a professional who wants to become a world champion. And for my perspective, I believe it is important that you are in your position at all times, no matter what you do. So it's important that you know who you are and that you know your qualities and that you treat yourself in a good way, no matter what your goals are or what all you are pursuing. And there's a little story. So a man sees another man who is about to cut down trees with a blunt axe. And he stops and says to him, "Sharpen your axe, then you can work faster." And the other guy replies, "I don't have time. I have to cut down trees." Yeah. And I often have this image when I talk to age group athletes who are very ambitious. So they all have a coach, and of course it's a good idea, and they have very precise plans, and they are very focused and lots of data they work with, and they know everything. But if you ask them about a bit about themselves, so what is your mission or why are you doing this, they usually don't have a clear answer. And from my point of view, many seem to me really stressed and find sometimes the sport even as a burden. And at that point, I think it doesn't make it easier if you want to achieve a goal, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes some sense. And if we can give some tips for listeners on maybe just a couple of I don't know, questions or tips to get started on finding their mission and finding their right position and all these things that we've been discussing, what would be a couple of good tips that you could give people that they can start with and get some initial benefits?
So a main part in the project Breaking Barriers with Florian was to formulate his mission, so define his mission. And I think anyone can start with that right away. So in best case, you have someone, so your trainer or your wife or your husband with whom you do this together, so that you can get some feedback. And a few basic questions are quite easy to answer in this context, and everyone will notice, okay, that's just dealing with me and my mission. Yeah. So, what am I doing this sport for, especially the triathlon? So what am I about, and am I try to impress others, or do I want to do something for myself? So do I love to torture myself, or do I just do it because I enjoy moving? And I think it is quite important to answer these questions honestly and especially non-judgmental. So I remember a guy who in a coaching process said to me, "Fabian, it's important for me that I get a reward for everything I do and an award in best case. So just put a medal on my head and I'm happy." Yeah. And then I had a female executive who ran a marathon in, I think, don't know exactly, 3:45, super relaxed with extremely little training. And she didn't even pick up the medal at the finish line. It was a big marathon because it didn't matter to her. So the question would be, so who did it right? And my answer would be, both are correct. So it's not about giving the correct answer. So it's about discovering your own motivation and then maybe working with that. So finding out, why do I do triathlon, and why do I really do that, and what is my overall goal which I would like to achieve?
Yeah, that's great. And I think I don't know if this is exactly relevant, but I think that brought something to memory for me, which is that quite often we look at how a certain very successful athlete behaves and what they're like. A good example might be Michael Jordan, when that Netflix documentary came out a couple of years ago or 1 year ago, I can't remember. People looked at his mentality and how he behaved and how he was very intense with and demanding. And you start to see people saying that this is the key to athletic success, but of course you can just as easily find an example of somebody who is super chill but equally successful. And So I think it's a bit of a red herring when we start to look at what individual people are doing, because there's very obvious examples from people that are doing it in very different ways, but achieve equally great success. So as you say, I think that starting with yourself and getting self-awareness, I guess, is one key takeaway for me, at least from our conversation so far.
Yeah, and for me, it's and I always say it to not only athletes but also business people. So it is quite good if you know what makes you tick. So how do you think, and what do you think, and what do you do all the day? And that's why. And maybe this is another tip I can give to all the listeners. So start writing a daily journal. So at the end of the day, or at the end of a training session, for example, take yourself just a few minutes and write down, what did I think? So what thoughts and considerations came into my mind? So what did I feel? What emotions came up? So I was angry, I was sad, I was happy. And what did I experience in my body? So did I feel tensed, or did I have a feeling of pressure somewhere? And Florian has been doing this journal also for quite a long time, and he sent over to me the pages every day, and we talked about it the next day. And we did it because it shows you how you tick. So you realize, okay, this is a pattern. So you recognize this is a thing I always think about, and this is obviously a feeling I very often feel, and realizing that, you can continue to work with.
Yeah, that's great. And can you give a personal example? As you said, you're a triathlete yourself. What are some things that you do when you're working towards triathlon goal?
It's a good point, because of course in my work I only use concepts and approaches that I have already tried out on myself, and I also practice them in race and training. And my motto is, you are what you practice. So I have my daily routines. I have my journal. I very often write things down to clarify, and of course to adapt my mission. So I always have my own movie, and I want to make a sequel or another chapter of it. And I meditate, and I try to center myself two or three times a day. And I try to balance my emotional experiences to avoid that I develop dysfunctional attitudes, what I would say. So of course I'm always, not always, but from time to time, angry and frustrated, but I try not to stick to them on the long run. So, and I would say I always try to be in a good connection with me. And I do it also in triathlon. And the most time of my sports career, I have to be honest, I trained completely without digital gadgets. And even today, I don't have a structured training plan. So I don't want to say that this is a bad thing, but sometimes it sets you so under pressure. And many people, they have a full-time job and they have so much stress in their job, and this generates in the end too much additional pressure, and many pictures in your head come up when you use all the data, and they tell you something you do not understand. Okay, why is my heart rate so high, and this and that? And so I really try to get in touch with me and ask myself, okay, what is needed, and what is your need right now, and what could be a solution for that?
These have been several examples already for triathlon and sports performance. Is there anything in addition? I mean, and they can also be used generally, I understand, but are there any things that you would like to point out as good examples for listeners that might be in a leadership position or in some sort of business role where systemic coaching might also be beneficial? So anything additional that you didn't mention in those previous examples?
I mean, imagine that until yesterday you thought you sit quite well on your bike. So until yesterday, because yesterday you had your first bike fitting, and now you are optimally adapted to your bike. So of course it still pinches here and there, and you have to do a few more exercises, but in the end you see, this is my new position, and you feel, okay, this is how it must feel to sit on the bike, like this and no other way. And for me, it is similar with this form of coaching. So imagine you are able to verbalize your mission, and you suddenly experience a clarity and an energy where you would never thought it exists. And you suddenly realize, okay, this is what I want to do, and this is a goal I want to pursue. And of course, especially this is the way I want to pursue the goal. And that's why I would say, in the end, you can take much better care of yourself on many levels, because you pay better attention to your needs, for example. And of course, it makes also things in the business life easier, because maybe you lead your team in another way, or you work together with your colleagues in another way, or you solve conflicts in another way. And in my opinion, it's worth it.
And do you have any other piece of advice or final take-home messages before we get into the rapid-fire questions?
So for me, I mean, so take it easy. Maybe it's not the right advice, but what I heard very often when I talk to athletes is when they finished a long distance race, so they said to me, so I defeated myself. So, this is really interesting, because I hear that quite often, that people talk to me in that way. So I defeated myself finishing an Ironman or finishing a marathon. And I always ask myself, okay, if you defeat yourself, so of course somebody has won, but there's a loser, and obviously the loser is part of yourself. So for me, this is not really an appreciative approach to deal with yourself, you know. So that's why I would like to invite people to be more appreciative with their goals, and especially their way to reach those goals. And of course, there are knots and barriers, but you cannot break the barriers with a crowbar, but you can break it very smoothly when you accept that the barrier, of course, has a background. So the behavior in the past was good. You took care of yourself by establishing this attitude or this mindset. So it is not about going against yourself, but it is a bit more about going in alliance, so going in resonance with yourself.
Okay, yeah. So let's move to the rapid fire questions. So take just one sentence to answer each of these. And the first one is, what is your favorite book or resource related to endurance sports or really to systemic coaching or anything?
Okay, that's what I would like to add. So I'm not a trainer or a physiotherapist, but an interesting book is Embodied Coaching. So it's written by Richard Strozzi. It's, I think, also it is in English available, definitely. And a German book, it's called A Leadership. It has got an English title, but it is written in German. It's called Leadership by Personality. And this is quite interesting.
The first one was Embodied Coaching.
Embodied Coaching and Richard Strozzi. And the second one was Leadership by Personality. And it deals a lot with self-leadership and self-development.
Just writing it down so I can put it in the show notes. And what's an important habit that you have benefited from athletically, professionally, or personally?
Maybe it sounds a bit pathetic, but it's humility in terms of being humble, I think. So especially in times of the crisis and the pandemic and the Ukrainian war, so I realized nothing is for granted, and in addition to that, I think we as triathletes are not entitled to anything. So even though we assume that from time to time we want to train hard and have the adequate outcome, so maybe it's humility.
And who's somebody that you look up to or that has inspired you?
To be honest, I could always do only a very little with this idle thing. So I like the idea that you yourself in 10 years or 15 years from now can function as your so-called own idol. And that's why I really like the type of work I do with my clients, but also for myself.
Well, that's a very good answer, I think. And finally, Fabian, where can people find out you and learn more about your work and so on? Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, so of course we have a web page. It's called houseofleadership.de. It's unfortunately only in German, and as a result of the project with Florian, we will set up a program for together with Florian, with Philipp Seib and his company Kick-Ass. We will set up a project called Breaking Barriers, and you will find information on breakingbarriers.pro. But in the first round, I think it will be only for German-speaking people, as we have also physical sessions in Germany. But the best idea is connecting me via LinkedIn or via Insta. So I'm not a real Insta guy, but you can contact me via LinkedIn. That's a good idea. Or you can send me an email. And for those who would like to do that, I can send them maybe a template, a small template, where they can find some hints how to initiate their own work. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So we'll put your email in the show notes then as well, and people can find it.
Yeah. I will give it to you.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much, Fabian. It's been very interesting to talk to you, and looking forward to chatting to you again in the future.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope that you enjoyed that interview. As always, you can find the show notes on scientifictriathlon.com with links to Fabian's profiles, social media profiles and websites, as well as his email will be found there, as he suggested. You can email him, and some book recommendations, related episodes, including my interview with Philipp Seib, and a couple of sports psychology episodes that I would highly recommend you listen to if that topic interests you, including one with Dr. Simon Marshall and Leslie Patterson, and another one with Dr. Joanne Delcotter. Next Monday, I interview Dr. Andy Renfrey, who is an exercise physiologist, and we will talk about training methods, applying sports science in practice, running in particular is his forte, and we'll talk a lot about pacing, which is a topic that he has investigated a lot and done a lot of research in. So that's an interesting special topic that we dive into in great detail. Don't forget our training camps, and in particular, the one in Portugal in January 2023 is open for registration. And in fact, we only have a few slots left. So be quick if you want to sign up for that one. Check out the information on scientifictriathlon.com and email me if you have any further questions or want to register. Big thanks to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration, that you can find on precisionfuelandhydration.com. Use their free fuel and hydration planner to understand your fluid, electrolyte, and carbohydrate needs, and get a specific and effective race strategy, and book a free consultation with the team if you want to refine it further. Use the code TTS22 at checkout for 15% off your first order of fueling and hydration products. And thank you to Senate. Use the Senate swim trainer to improve your technique, power, stamina, and most importantly, your swim training consistency. Get 20% off your order of the swim trainer with the promo code that you can get on senateswimtrainer.com/TTS. And don't forget that it's a risk-free investment. If you don't love it after 2 weeks, send it back and you'll get a full refund. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.